So today I'd like to discuss, I mentioned something with Kavod Rosh Hashanah. I'd like to look at one Mishnah, a few lines in the Gemara, and share with you insight from Rav Soloveitchik, which I think will enhance, hopefully, your davening and give a little more context to Shemon Esrei of Musaf, where you seem to have, I just heard somebody give a Dvar Torah. The Shev Brach was the other night. Someone gave Dvar Torah. How the Musa Shemon Esrei seems to be just a collection of psukim, and he went in a different direction. He was explaining why we usually don't quote psukim in the Shemon Esrei. Here we do. That was his. But as we'll see, it's more than a psukim. Not that he said it was wrong, but we think about it. A lot of psukim quoted in the Shemon Esrei in Musa Baruch Hashanah. So let's begin with a Mishnah Rishon Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. I mean, honestly, if you have it on your phone and get it on the screen, if not, listen. Here the Mishnah says as follows: Seder Brachas. Very top of the page, Alamed Beis Man Alvin Rosh Hashanah. Seder Brachas. Here's the order of the Brachas, the Shemon Esrei, on Rosh Hashanah. Now, I should mention right at the outset that the Mishnah does not mention which Shemon Esrei. And there is actually a Shita, the Balamor, is of the opinion that this applies to all the Shemon Esreis of Rosh Hashanah, which if we were to postulate like him, would lengthen the tefillah even more on Rosh Hashanah, okay? But we assume that this is applicable to Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. So here goes. Here's the order of the brachos. Omer Avos, okay, that's the first bracha, the bracha of Avos, which ends brachot Hashem Magen Avram, same as any other day. Gvuros, second bracha, Gvuros Ato Gibor, ends Mechayim Mason. And Kedushas Hashem, Ato Kadosh Mekadosh, and we end Okeh LaKadosh. But that's the bracha of Kedushas Hashem. Those are the same three first brachas that we say anytime we ever say Shemon Esrei. Now there's sometimes a difference. We put in a phrase, Mashiach or not, Zochrein L'Chaim, okay, Melech HaKadosh, Okeh LaKadosh, but fundamentally, those three brachas introduce every Shemon Esrei. It doesn't matter if it's a Tuesday night in March or Wednesday morning in December or Shachar's Mincha, Marib, whatever it is. You always say those same first three brachas. By the way, as we'll see in the end of the mission, same last three brachas, always the same. The last three brachas, always the same. Okay, the bracha starts with Tzei, ends Amach Zeshma Sosion. The bracha starts Modim, ends Atov Shimcha Lachon Elohados. The bracha starts Yosim Shalom, Shalom Rav, and ends Amach Zeshma Shalom. That's also the end three brachas. Again, sometimes the Yalav Yobo, Chanukah Purim, Yalav Nisim, but fundamentally, it's the same three brachas. What's always different from Shemon Esrei to Shemon Esrei is what's in the middle. So weekdays, we have 13 brachas in the middle. Same usual first three, same usual last three. 13 brachas in the middle. Atachonim, all the rest of the brachas. Shomei Atfilah is the last. Total of 19 brachas. You all know that 19 brachas is still called Shemon Esrei, even though the 19 brachas, because originally there were 18. Another bracha was added. Okay, the assumption is by most, the bracha added on Al-Shinim. Gemara talks about that's what made it into 19 brachas. Okay, so we still call it Shemon Esrei, just like we still call certain things by... You know, certain things, the names stick. You know, an example, a Band-Aid. The Band-Aid is a company name. Okay, so they're really called, I think, adhesive bandages, something like that. Whatever says, can I have a Band-Aid? But it could be manufactured by a different company. We call it a Band-Aid. Certain things, the names stick. It used to be, huh? Vaseline would be an example. Kleenex. Kleenex, right? Kleenex became a name with tissue. And every Xerox. Tissue, Kleenex. Xerox became a verb. Okay, actually became a verb. I want to Xerox something. Today, I think people don't do that too often, right? But anyway, so yeah, the name stuck. Okay, so called to the Shemon Esrei, fine. There are 19 brachas. On Shabbos and on Yom Tov, leaving out Musaf Rosh Hashanah, they're all together a total of only 7 brachas. Same usual first three, same usual last three. And in the middle is a bracha called Kedushas Hayom, which ends on Shabbos, Bracha Hashem Mekadosh Shabbos, on Yom Tov Mekadosh Shov Azmanim. Rosh Hashanah Mekadosh Yom HaZikaron, Kippur Mekadosh Yom HaKippurim, Rosh Chodesh Mekadosh Yom HaShacharim. It's one long bracha, yeah.
I think I remember seeing a highlight of like a footnote in the RC Siddur that Esam Tavid and Latzadikim used to be one.
Esam Tavid and Rishalayim. Esam Tavid and Rishalayim used to be one. That's what they used to be 17. Then it became 18. There's a shita like that. I think those are three brachas. Anyway, not now. The point is that they always have the same first three, same last three. What's different is the middle. Okay. So here we're talking back to this, is Rosh Hashanah. So it starts off like any other Shemon Esrei. Avos, Gurus, Okdusa, Shem. But now, the mission introduces us to the fact that in Rosh Hashanah, we have three special inserts known as Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. And that's put into the Shemana Esrei. Again, according to Balamor, every Shemana Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, but according to what we paskin, just Musaf. And where do you stick them? Where do they come in? So this first opinion, which the Mishnah will later identify as Yochanan ben Nori, he says, you say, Avos, Gurus, Kudushas Hashem, V'kolel Malchios Imahem. Malchios is built in, it's added into the bracha of Kedushas Hashem. If we think about it, Kedushas Hashem is usually the shortest bracha in the Shemana Esrei. Rosh Hashanah, according to this opinion of Yochanan ben Nori, you add Malchios into that bracha. So it expands the bracha to include whatever Malchios includes. That's one point he makes. And then he says, Ve'eno tokea, but you do not blow shofar after Malchios. Okay, good. Get to that shortly. Then you say, so somewhere he said three brothers. Then you say, Zichronos, the tokea. Then you say, Zichronos. Okay, whatever Zichronos is, we'll talk about it. And you blow shofar after Zichronos. Sorry, skip something. Sorry. First, Kedush Ayom. Then you say Kedush Ayom. Again, you say, Avos, Gevuros, Kedushas Hashem / Malchios, incorporating into one entity. Then Kedushas Hashem, which is the Kedush Ayom, I mean Kedush Ayom, which is the bracha ends Mekadesh Yisrael. That's like a regular Musaf. And you know all those things you mentioned, the Karbanos, right? Of Yom's Bacharoshim, as you mentioned, the Karbanos were brought on that day. Atav Chaitano, all that stuff that's in the middle bracha on a regular Yantif, and then it's Mekadosh Rav Azmanim, and he says then V'tokea, and you blow shofar after that. Good. Then Zichronos V'tokea, then Shofros V'tokea, and then finally at the end, then you say V'omer Avoda. That's the bracha of Ritzeh, which concludes the Matzah Shkana Sotzion, Avoda. Then the Hoda'ah, Modim, which ends Hatov Shimchal Chanala Hodos. And then Birchas Konim, you know, the Shalom, that's the bracha of Shalom, connected to Birchas Konim, because Birchas Konim ends, you know, the same Lachal Shalom. Okay. That's all Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nori. Okay, that's his structure, this one I say. Again, Avos, Gvuros, Hatagibor, Kedushas Hashem combined with Malchios, but not followed by Shofar. Then Kedushas Hayom, the regular Musaf Rocham Kedushas Hayom, followed by Malchios and Shofar, followed by Shofar. Then Zichronos, followed by Shofar. Shofar, followed by Shofar, and then the concluding three brachas, Avoda, Oda, and Shalom. Good. Divrei Yochanan ben Nori. Amar Rav Akiva, im eina tokea l'malchios, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, you just said, there is no Tkiya Shofar following Malchios. Because he put Malchios again in with Kedushas Hashem, and he said, Ve'eno Tokei, you don't blow Shofar at that point. According to him, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, you blow Shofar after what? After Kedushas Hayom, after Zichronos, and after Shofars. Okay? There's a further question whether you blow the Shofar only in the Chazar Sashat, or in the Sounds when they do, those without the Musaf Sfarad. See them, it's other people, and rub like that, you know, they blow shofar in the Sounds Shemana Esrei. Also, most Ashkenazim blow only the Chazor Shoshat, fine. But it's only after those three brachas, Kedusha Yom, Zichronos, and Shofar. Rabbi Akiva objects to Yochanan ben Nori, and he says, according to you, if you're not going to blow shofar after Malchios, Lama Humaska, why are you bothering to say Malchios altogether? Very strange question. That's what he says. Ella, so his opinion is different. Okay, his opinion is Omer Avos, Uguros, Ukudush Hashem. The first three are normal. Avos, Uguros, Kudush Hashem alone, not combined with anything.
No.
Not according to Akiva.
No,
no, not Akiva. Not Akiva. No. So they got to put a comma. He says, according to Akiva, Omer, Avos, Uguros, Kudush Hashem, comma, V'kola Malchios, Kudush Hashem, V'tokea. Malchios is combined with not Kedushas Hashem, like Atakadosh, like Yochanan ben Nori said, but with Nechatainu, Atakatanu, Kedushas Hayom. And you do blow shofar after that. Then Zichronos V'tokea, then Shofars V'tokea, then Omer Avoda, Hadar, Brichas Konim, the last three brothers. So it's actually a twofold machlokas between the Akiva and the Yochanan ben Nori in this Mishnah. One is, where do you combine Malchios? According to Yochanan, you combine Yochanan ben Nori, you combine Malchios with Kedushas Hashem, third bracha, Atta Kadosh. According to Akiva, you do not. according to Mekiva, you combine Malchus with Kedushas Hayom, with Ata V'chatanon, Batitin Lanon, Bechatainu, the Korbanos, that's where you put Malchus in. That's Machlokas 1. Machlokas 2 is, do you blow shofar following Malchus? According to Yochanan Nuri, not. Do not. Because Malchus is included with Kedushas Hashem. According to Yochanan Nuri, you do blow shofar following Malchus because it's combined with Kedushas Hayom. That's the Machlokas in the Mishnah. Okay? All right. Machlokas. As you may know, we pass on Rabbi Akiva. Okay? We put Malchus together with Kedushas Hayom. After we have all the Rebechatainu and the Korbanas, and we go into Malchus, Aleinu, and then all the Psukim of Malchus, and so on. Okay? And by the way, the text, or the concluding text of the Bracha, combines both themes. We say, ordinarily, we say, Baruchat Hashem, Mekadosh Hashem. Baruchat Hashem, Mekadosh Hashem, Azmanim. On Rosh Hashanah, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, at the end, Melech al kol ha'aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom ha'zikaron. That's the combination of Malchios and Kiddush Hayom. Melech al kol ha'aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom ha'zikaron. Now, once we do this, we do it in all this one, I mean, in the Kiddush, we do that. But it has its roots here, because we combine Malchios with Kiddush Hayom. Melech al kol ha'aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom ha'zikaron. Okay, that's what we follow. And we blow shofar at that point. We pass like a Mekiva. But the Gemara now asks a simple question. What did Rabbi Akiva mean when he said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he said, listen, if you're not going to blow shofar by Malchus, why are you saying Malchus? Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, imena tokeh Malchus, lama hu maskir. That's a quote. So Gemara says, lama hu maskir? Why? Rachmana Amar Ibra. Because it's a din, you have to say Malchus. What kind of question is that? And that's Gemara's question. What is Rabbi Akiva? Why are you saying Malchus? Because I'm Rosh Hashanah. You're supposed to say Malchus. That's why. Now, he uses the expression Rachmana Amar Idgar. Usually means the Torah says to say it. That opens its own can of worms. Really, the Torah says you have to say Malchus? Is the recitation of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars a Doraisa? The simple reading of this Gemara would seem to indicate that, yes, he holds it's a Doraisa. Okay, holds it's a Doraisa. And his answer, the way we interpret the Gemara is, listen, what kind of question do we keep asking as Rabbi Yochanan? Why do you say Malchus if you're not going to blow shofar? Because the din, it could mean the Gemara doesn't mean it's Doraisa. You know, it's like you tell somebody, the Torah says you can't turn a light on the Shabbos. The Torah doesn't say that, right? But we need it, you know, you're not allowed to do it, right? It's an expression. The Torah says, you know. So it could be that, but that's not usually the way we like to approach the Gemara. You know, so it could mean, it doesn't mean literally Rachmana Amar. It means the din, that's halacha. What do you mean, why do you say Malchus? I think about earlier, Rosh Hashanah, because Baruch Hu said, Imru Lefanah Malchus. Okay, the Gemara, I think about Yud Zayin. It says, it's an unusual expression. Okay, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, very bottom of, this is the very bottom of love, of Tez Zayin of an Aleph. Okay. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nisru Lefanah Mayim, B'chag, find the Imru Lefanah Ibar Hashanah Malchus Yechon Shofres. I want you to say, Malchus Yechon Shofres. I want you to say it. Okay? In world of funai, say it. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu means that seems to point to the Raisa. Kodesh Baruch Hu says it. Again, it may not be literally. So actually, that's a machlokes Rashi and Rabban. I'll digress for a moment. Rashi seems to learn that indeed it's a Doraisa. The recitation of Malchus upon the Shofars is in fact a Doraisa. Rashi and Chumash learns out because you look at the Pesukim in Parshas Emor, where Rosh Hashanah is identified as Shavosan Zichron Trua. So Zichron Trua means today, Zichronos and Shofar, Zichron Trua. And Rashi should learn right before that it said, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, that's Malchus, Hashem is the king, and so on. Hashem. So Rashi seems to hold that Malchus upon Shofar is saying Rosh Hashanah is a Doraisa. The Ramban objects to that. Ramban objects to that. Ramban says, you cannot say that. I'll bring you proof. Because there is a Gemara, another Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Well, it is all dumb. And the Gemara says, what if you have a person who is stuck somewhere? Okay, and let's remember the old days in Sedura. So whoever had to be the chazan from Malchus and Chazan Shofar, Hashem must have had to know. Either maybe just he had a written copy or he had to know by heart. The average person, even today, most people don't know. I mean, you know, we all know the weekday Shema by heart, maybe the Shabbat Shema say. Maybe even the other Shema say, but it's hard to know the Rosh Hashanah Moses Shema say Bahar. Let's be honest. Okay, so that was the job of the Chazan. He was really talking Motzi the Tzibur, literally. It was Motzi the Tzibur, in the Mishra Esrei for Musa, because everyone listens to Shomei Kalman, right? Today we all have our own Mabzorim. The one time they didn't have it. So the Gemara has a suffix. What happens if a guy is stuck somewhere and he's near two different towns? One town, they have a chauffeur. We can't really conceive of such a case coming up nowadays. In the ancient old times, it did. One town had a chauffeur, has a chauffeur. But there's no chazan, nobody knows how to say the Muslims, how to say Mabs are not chauffeurs. The other town has a chazan, but there's no chauffeur there. And they're too far, that's not too far to get together. This guy lives in the middle. So where should I go? Should I go to the place where I'm going to hear the Shemoneh Esrei? Obviously, it comes to chauffeurs, but I'm not going to hear the Kiyah Shofar. Or should I go when I hear the Kiyah Shofar? I'm going to forfeit my office on the chauffeurs. What should I do? So Gemara says, go to the place where they have the chauffeur. Why? Gemara says, because Had Oraisa, Had Rabbanan. If you want to look at it, it's Lama Dalam Beis. Look it up, Lama Dalam Beis. Had Oraisa, Had Rabbanan. Chauffeur is Oraisa. So if you have an opportunity to fulfill one, then you choose the device, not the abana. Yeah.
You
need
to save yourself.
I'm saying the guy doesn't know. He doesn't know.
If you use the device, you can save yourself. You don't need
it. Yeah, but he doesn't know matzah. In those days, someone doesn't know matzah, someone shokas. Doesn't know it. There's no sibling, no matzah, huh?
What is the device about?
So that's a further question.
Is it involved on that?
Well, that's a good question. Can you, is there a specific text, or can you just say Hashem is the king?
So no.
Yeah, okay. But the Ramban says, but they want to know for that answer. Moran says, go and have the chauffeur, because that's the rice. Malchus and the chauffeur is only the Rabbanon. Okay. So the that would seem to be against, how can Rashi learn it's the rice? I mean, checkmate. I mean, the Gemara that says it's the rice, and that's the Malchus and the chauffeur is the Rabbanon. Right? So that's Ramban's objection to Rashi. How can you say Malchus and Shofar is the Raisa? The Gemara says the Rabbanan. Do you want to give your answer? The Rav gave a different answer. The Rav said, and others say this too, many say this, that no, Malchus and Shofar is the Raisa with Tekiah Shofar, when accompanying Tekiah Shofar. By itself, it's not a Raisa. Okay, but be that as it may, so then you have to wonder, what does our Gemara mean here back in Lamed Beis? Rachmana, right there. Maybe Malchus and Shofar is the Raisa when accompanied by Shofar. Then it elevates the Raisa. There's a lot to say about that for a different time. Yeah.
Where's the Rashi and the Ramban Argizam?
Say it again.
Where's the Rashi and the Ramban Argizam?
Parsha Chumash. Ramban and Chumash and Parsha Demo. Now, but okay, the other two are two. Let's get back to our issue. So, Rahmana Amar Idgar may or may not be literal, but either way, what Rabbi Akiva seemed to be saying was very strange. He said to Bilchon, why are you saying Malchus? What do you mean, why are you saying Malchus? Because Rosh Hashanah, he's supposed to say Malchus. Where did the Raisa about whatever? He's supposed to say it. So, Rabbi Akiva's objection. Listen, Rabbi Yochanan, if you're not Kabbalah Shofar, why are you saying Malchus altogether? I mean, why? Because you're supposed to say Malchus on Shana, that's why. Okay, understand the question? So, Warren gives an answer, which is the heart of the question. Ella, here's what he meant. No. He didn't mean why he's saying Malchus. I know you have to say Malchus, but Lama Eser, Lema Tesha, the whole Ishtani, Ishtani, period. I'll translate. What Rabbi Kiva meant was, why do you say 10 psukim? For Malchus, why not say only 9? Because once you're changing, you're changing. That's the end of the Gemara. Oh, now I get it. What was the answer? What? It's like a very cryptic Gemara, to say the least. The Gemara goes on to something else. Right after that line, oh, vision, Tanar, Bonim, yeah. Okay, goes on to, I mean, it's a related topic, but it doesn't. So we need to understand what exactly is going on here in this Gemara. What's this exchange of Yochanan and Akiva with 9, 10, what, who? So, before we come back to explain that, I just want to present to you what the Rav developed, not the Rav, it's obvious. A lot of people don't get it. Once you understand it, it really makes the Malchus and Shofar's presentation more meaningful. Okay? And that is the following. The Rav noted that in each of the three, in Malchus, in Zichronos and in Shofars, there are three parts. There are three sections to each one. Section one is what we might call the statement of theme. Okay, remember the English essay. Statement of the theme. So in Malchus, what's the theme going to be? Hashem is a Melech. It's a statement about that. In Zichronos, what's the theme going to be? Because Baruch Hu remembers and knows everything. And Shofar's statement is going to be something about the shofar. So that's part one of Malkus, part one of Zichronos, part one of Shofar. It's the statement of the theme. What follows is a series of proof texts. We cite psukim that demonstrate from Tanakh this theme. So in Malchios, the proof texts are going to be all about what? Hashem being the Melech. In Zichronos, the proof texts are going to be all about Hashem remembering and knowing everything. Right? And in Shofar, the proof texts are going to be psukim about Shofar. Right? Makes sense. The proof texts. Now, there are altogether 9 proof texts. 3 psukim from Torah, 3 psukim from Ksuvim, 3 from Nevi'im. If you wonder why it's out of order, why does it go Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim? Because all the psukim from Ksuvim are from Tehillim, which were written by David HaMelech, who lived before the Nevi'im, whose psukim are quoted. So it's chronological. And that's why it goes Torah, Ksuvim, Nevi'im. David lived before Yirmiyahu. Okay, so all the psukim of Torah from the Torah. Then you have 3 psukim from Navi, okay? And then you have 3 psukim from, then you have 3 from Ksuvim, David HaMelech from Tehillim, and then 3 psukim from Nevi'im, which were, again, chronologically related to David. That's what I think. No, there are 3, you know, 3 is always the Chazokah, right? So 3 from, like we say I don't know how to say it, but in Beit Lecha, at the end of Beit Lecha, those are on our Shul, the quotes of Gemara at the end of Megillah, it says, Amr Yochanan, Kol Mochum Shatamotzi, Gurasa Shakos Borhu, Shama Tamotz, Anderson, I'm talking about at the end of Beit Lecha. So it says, Dobar Zel, Kosova Torah, Shona Ibn Avim, Mishulish Beksuvim. Now we bring Raya, that Gemara has it in a few places. We see this once in the Torah, it's repeated, Navi, it's repeated Ksuvim. So that gives you, that like, you know, solidifies something. But it's in Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim, it solidifies the point. Okay, so that's what we do. We have these 9 proof texts from 3 from Torah, 3 from, again, 3 from Tanakh, 3 from Torah, 3 from Nevi'im. So we flip the order of Ksuvim and Nevi'im because we do it in chronological order and the Psukim David come earlier. Fine. That's part 2. So again, each of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofar's statement theme, proof text, and then you have, we'll call the concluding Bakasha, which ends with the bro. The concluding Bakasha request relating to that theme. Okay? So the concluding request in Malchus is going to be somewhere related to Hashem being king. The concluding request in Zichronos is about Hashem being remembering everything. Concluding Bakasha in Shofar is about some of the Shofar. And then that wraps up with the bracha. So the bracha ends Malchus, Melech HaKodem, Lisson Melech, Zichronos about Hashem remembering, and Shofar is about the Shofar. That's the structure, the basic structure of Malchus. It's obvious, but the Rav, you know, call our attention to it. Because sometimes Mavzorim, especially old Mavzorim, just have these long paragraphs that go, it's like the Haggadah, you know, there's a Psukim. There's a structure to it, and the new Haggadahs are better. There's a structure. You have Master Psukim and Haggadah, Rami Ovid Ovi, phrase by phrase, we darshan it. You know, I mean, I said years ago they should make it, how they do. I'm not taking credit, but obviously someone else thought of the idea too. But they have like color, you know, or different font. There'll be a bold thing, and then, you know, what's the master pasuk or the master phrase? It'll explain what Chazal is saying. They usually quote another backup pasuk. Okay, everything has a structure. So Malchus upon Shofar has the structure. So let's look at Malchus first. The statement of theme in Malchus, that Hashem is the Melech, is actually familiar to us, Aleinu. Aleinu is the statement of theme, because it's Anachnu Kor Mishachim Od Melifnei, Melech, Malchem, Lochem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the second paragraph, the so-called second Aleinu, Al Kana Kavlech HaLiros, Liros, what does it say? L'sakein Olam B'malchus Shakai, right? And everybody should be Yakubit, you know, that Kilchati Chatorat T'Shavah, L'vanech HaShem Yichu Olam, V'chavot Shimchu Yikari Tenu, V'kavlu Chulam, that's all Malchus, right? That's all. The whole Aleinu is about Malchus. Okay? That's what it's about. Aleinu originates here, not at the end of Davening. Okay, according to, we understand, Rav, Rabin Shmuel, Rav was the one who composed the Malchus of Malchus that we have. It's called something called Tkiyus the Bei Rav. Tkiyus based on the structure of Rav. Okay, but whatever it is, Aleinu originates here. It was later appended to the end of Davening, but it originates in the Musa Shana and Rosh Hashanah. I remember, and I still remember this, you know, when I was a little kid, I must have, I don't know, whatever it was, that I was old enough to read Hebrew, to know a little bit about the Siddur. So I have my great-grandfather, my mother, Alasham's grandfather, was a rabbi in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So those days did not have casinos. Okay, it was not a gambling center. It was actually a resort. A lot of rabbanim used to go there. It was a lot of rabbinical organizations to have their conventions in Atlantic City. And so my great-grandpa was a star of there. Anyway, so we used to go there. I remember going to his shul. My father, as a rabbi of the shul, so he was responsible. He was like one rabbi of the city, and all the shuls, the other shuls of the city were under him, sort of. You know, he only died in one of them. They thought that Elizabeth was in a tight. So anyway, so, you know, my father was hired to be the baltzul in a different shul, and I was further away. I was a little kid, so I walked with my great-grandfather to shul. And I sat with him, and I remember, and I learned how to read Hebrew, and I so a little bit, I noticed in Shema Nesai, I still can picture it. I'm saying the Muslim Shema Nesai Rosh Hashanah, reading as best I can, I'm a little kid, however old you are, you know, and all of a sudden, there's a leino. Now, I thought that I had a defective matzah. A leino? Can't be, you know, we're running through Shema Nesai, I'm not up to leino. I thought it was the old-style shuls that had these long benches. Okay, not seats, but it's long benches. I don't know, maybe I never even saw those. So the long benches, and when you were behind, the bench in front had this little like slot where you can put your sitter, you know, to keep your sitter. So I closed that matzah, and I reached for a different one. I opened up, and lo and behold, it was the exact same problem. And I remember being very frustrated, but everyone's saying this one. I can't answer my grandfather's comment. You know, I just remember being very annoyed. Like, I thought, what in the world is going on here? Okay, but anyway, so later on, when I was old enough, I understood. But anyway, Aleinu has its origins, not at the end of davening, but in the Shema Nesai. So Aleinu, but that's what it's about. If you think about Aleinu, we say Aleinu half asleep or half at a shul. But when you think about Aleinu every day, you know, Malchus about Malchus. And it ends with a pasuk. Ha-kosu b'sarasecha, Hashem yimloch l'olam voed. Right? That begins the proof text. That's the first of the proof text. Hashem yimloch l'olam voed. It's pasuk chumash. The end of the Yashir, Shem Yimloch L'Olam Voed. So therefore, the Malchus, the statement of theme, is Aleinu and Alkein HaKadmon. Okay, and then you have your text psukim, Shem Yimloch L'Olam Voed, various other psukim, by Hebrew Shul Melech, and other psukim. Okay, and then three psukim of Navi, about Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Voed, three psukim. The concluding request begins, Elokeinu v'Elokei v'Seinu, Meloch al kol olam kulo b'chodecha, that's Malchus. That's the request of Malchus. Then we go back to the, remember, it's also combined with Kiddush Hayom. So Kachenim Tosecha, that's the regular Kiddush Hayom. Shabbos Nyantav, Kachenim Tosecha, that's part of it. Okay, but then the bracha concludes with both themes, like we said before. Melech al kol haaretz, the kaddish Yisrael, Yom Yizkor. So there you have the structure of Malchus. Your opening text, which is Aleinu, Malkin HaKavir, then the nine, then the psukim, and then you have your Elokeinu v'Elokei v'Seinu, Melech al kol haaretz, kulo b'chodecha. Good. Zichronos. Okay. Zichronos begins, Ato zocher ma'aseh. You remember everything that's happened. L'fanecha nivlu kol talamos. All hidden things, you know everything. Okay, and you therefore judge accordingly, right? And Hashem is aware of everything. That's your opening statement, theme statement of Zichronos. You're aware and familiar with everything that ever happened. Okay, God, every person's inner thoughts, every creature's, you're aware of. That's Zichronos. Okay, then you have your text, proof text. Happens to be the first proof text in Zichronos. Hashem remembered Noah. He's called him as Noah. And then it's Mitzrayim, right? So it's Mitzrayim, yeah.
So by Malchus, it actually has like four texts. It has Mugera has Hashem Elohim, has Hashem Yidol Kovlet. It says Loi Yidol Yaakov, it has Zayim Sher Melech. So which one of those is the...
Wait, Hashem Yidol Kovlet, it's Hashem Yidol Kovlet, that's the first one.
Well, that's the Malik also, and that is...
First one, Hashem Yidol Kovlet.
Well,
okay. Yeah, but that's part of
it.
That's not part of it. Okay, but the end of it. That's right, that's part of it. But the very end, the proof test, Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Voed. Then Lo Yibitav Yaakov Sos Malach Bo. Then Vayim Shor Malach, right? Those Yipsukim from Malach, the Torah. Then from Tzum, so you have Hashem Malach, Yis Lovei, and right, so you have one of those, right?
Yeah,
it's
for Kila Shem. It's
The Navi is at the end.
Sushar
is several sukkim, but it's one unit, so Bizar and Malach cover. And then you have your other car, Shem and Malach, Shem and Golo, and some right of
the
Sharon and then yeah. Okay, so there you psukkim and Malach. And then you have the request, Malach and Kolon. Now's the problem. So Ato Zilcha Bas Helom. Then your proof text begins with Noach, and then it says Mitzrayim, where he's called as Bisa, and so on, and says Yaakov, and so on. Psukim from Ksuvim, which, you know, we speak about also Hashem. That's a question, you know, what the Psukim are. There's one that doesn't fit the Rabbi, not time to learn, but not for now, maybe if you have a mention. And then your Psukim from Novi, right? And, you know, Zachaita, 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 the riot, and Abed Yaakov, and Ephraim, Zachar, and Karenu, those are Psukim's own. And what's the request? In Zichron, something with Zichron. Elokeinu Melech Maseinu, Zochreinu b'Zichron Tovlefanav. You're remembering everything, right? Remember us favorably. Right? Zochreinu b'Zichron Tovlefanav. That's the and ends Baruch Hashem Zochar Bris. Right? Remember the Bris with Avraham and Yaakov. So that's the conclusion of Zichronos. You know, you have a request of Elokeinu Melech Maseinu, Zochreinu b'Zichron Tovlefanav. Conclude the Baruch Hashem Zochar Bris. Now Shofros. Your opening statement, which is brief in shofars. Shofars has to do with Hashem sounding shofar, Gila Shechina. Okay? Ato Nigleis Abelan Kodachah. You revealed yourself at Har Sinai. Right? And you appeared to the people with a shofar. Shofar is one of the elements of Mamre Har Sinai. And we have three proof texts. All three psukim are quoted from the Torah. And shofars are from Parsha Yisroel, not in Torah. He called a shofar, Holei Mechazik Mo. Right? Moshe never, anyway. People who've heard the sound and some Sukkim Yisro about the shofar. All right, so that's a proof text about shofars. And then your concluding request is Takab is shofar, Gala Chavisenu, sound the shofar of the future, the shofar of redemption. Right? Bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, Takab is shofar, right? The great shofar of the future. And it ends Shomea Kol Truas Abrochat Hashem, Shomea Kol Truas Amos Abrachamim. So you see now the structure of Malchus Zichron Shofars: introductory statement theme, proof text, concluding bracha, concluding request with the bracha. All on the theme. As a side point, you know, we're all familiar with the Rambam, Yud Gimel Ikarim. In the Parash HaMishnah, Sanhedrin, Parakud, the Rambam lists off the 13, they made them into Animamins, and Yigdal, whatever else, the 13, you know, fundamental principles of our faith, right? Rabbi Yosef Albo, a medieval philosopher, okay, it was called the Sefer Ikrim, kind of narrowed it down. He feels there are three basic principles. Have you heard that before? Three basic principles. The three basic principles are Metzias Hashem, there's Hashem in the world, the God of the world. Schar Va'onish, there's accountability, right? And Gilui Shechina, that Hashem revealed himself to the world. So think about it, those are the three brachas of Malchus, Moses, and Shofros. Malchios is, Hashem is the king, Hashem is, we have a God. Right? That's Malchus. Zichronos is, well, accountability. Hashem is aware of everything. He holds you responsible for what you do. Schar Va'onish. Right? And Shofros has to do with Gilui Shechina. All the three psukim, all the nine psukim Shofros have to do with Gilui Shechina. The three from the Torah are about the Gilui Shechina at Har Sinai. The three from Ksuvim are Gilui Shechina in Mikdash. The Beis HaMikdash. Okay? And three from Nevi'im are the Gilui Shechina of Lasid Lomo. You're talking about shofar gadol and so on. Well, the words are you're talking about shofar gadol, right? So the all psukim, the all have to do with Gilui Shechina, divine revelation. That's the third fundamental principle of the Yosef Albo. Okay, I mean, so it works out. I'm not saying that he had that much, but it works out. Okay, so those he didn't compose it. I'm saying he didn't compose Malchus and Shofros. He said that we use Malchus and Shofros on purpose, but I'm saying he didn't write Malchus and Shofros. Anyway, be that as it may, those are the three themes, the three sections to each one. Now, I told you there are nine psukim, but actually, if you look carefully, there's a tenth. There's a fourth pasuk from Torah in each of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. After your three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Ksuvim, three psukim from Nevi'im, Kasuv Torah, Meshulchan Ksuvim, it's a different order because of the chronology. There's a tenth pasuk. However, if you look in both Zichronos, it's a fourth pasuk in the Torah. We look at both Zichronos and Shofros. That fourth pasuk from the Torah, the tenth pasuk overall, is not connected. It doesn't immediately follow the others. It's separated. The extra pasuk appears in the request. In the Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, there's a pasuk used to back up, so to speak, the request. See what I'm saying? So in Zichronos, Elokeinu v'Aviseinu Zichronos Zichronos Tov L'Fanecha, right? And redeem us and bring us back and remember the Akedah. So we quote a pasuk to prove that pasuk is a charti. I forgot which one quoted in the text. Which one is in the very end? Is it the very end? Right before the bracha. Right before that. Right now, right before that. What's the pasuk? I think it's a chayta and Rishon. No, I don't know. Yeah, right. Okay, so whatever. It's another pasuk in the Torah. So in Shofar's too. Okay, in Shofar's too, there was an extra pasuk. The pasuk has to do. Actually, doesn't mention Shofar. It's the Chatzotzos, which we know from the early mission Hashanah accompanied the Shofar the Mikdash. So there it says, "V'yom Simchas Mavarechem Hashem Hashem." It's got the Chatzotzos, and so that's the tenth pasuk. So that extra pasuk is not really part of the nine proof text. It's in the request section. The only problem is a beautiful idea. It's the one problem. In Malchus. In Malchios, there is no pasuk in the Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu. Look at Malchus, there's no pasuk there. And the tenth pasuk, the extra Torah pasuk, does immediately follow the other nine. What's the extra pasuk in Malchios? Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Shema Echad. Now, we're not bothered by the use of that pasuk of Malchus, because what does that pasuk do? Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim, that's what Shema is, right? So it's a perfectly suitable pasuk for Malchus, because that's a pasuk, because Shema is not Shema, it's Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim. So that's fine. But it doesn't fit the pattern. It's not. It is at the end of the other proof text and not in the bracha. The Rav suggested that really it belongs in the bracha. Okay, but since that bracha appears in the other Shemana Esrei, that Elokeinu like I was saying, is not limited to Musaf. It appears in Maariv, Shachas, and Mincha too. And there we don't have a Pasuk. We never have a Pasuk there. So by Musaf, we don't have a Pasuk either. But really, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad is not a tenth Pasuk appended to the other nine. It's the extra Pasuk parallel to Yechonos and Shofus. So it really belongs to the Elokeinu like I was saying. We just don't put it there for a low plug, since we never have a Pasuk. They'll kind of example by Shachas Minchan Musaf by Shachas Minchan Maariv. Don't have it here either. But really, Shema Yisrael. In fact, the Rav suggested that you know how in most shuls, so the Chazan, you know, has a special tune, and periodically, you know, the Sibur chimes in. The section give the Chazan a breather, right? So everyone chimes in, right? But other people, okay, whatever your meaning in the shul is. So the Rav thought many chazanim understandably bring Shema Yisrael to a crescendo. Right, and that's the end of that. Then we go da, right? The Rav said probably better not to do that, okay? Because Shema, there at that point, why? Because basically he said the Shema Yisrael really belongs to Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu. So he said, come to the crescendo at the end of the previous pasuk, which happens to be by Yom Echad. Come to the crescendo and let everybody go, there. Then say, Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, okay, it's not the end of the world. It's not a big deal, but you know, the Chazanim are, you know, what do you mean? Shema Yisrael is like, what? That's like the crescendo. How can we change? Shechter once told us that when he was growing up, his father was a rabbi. Adal Shechter is an rabbi. Adal Shechter was, I remember him. He was an older man when I was in Yeshiva. He was the chief of the Sadr Gittin for Chalitza and Zol for the RCA. I mean, Talchon, Harry Yeshiva. So Shechter, his father was a rabbi, and he said one time, it's not really no gayer now because we changed the clocks much later. Sometimes it's a problem. Shulchan Aruch mentioned a problem on Yom Kippur. It's not a Rosh Hashanah problem, it's a Kippur problem. Shulchan Aruch says, you shouldn't schlep Shachris out too long, because you end up having a problem if Musaf is scheduled to start after already the Zman Mincha arrived. Remember that Gemara Brachos, well, that Gemara Brachos, what if it's now already Musaf time, and Mincha, it's also Mincha, what to do first? You put the Tadir, and the Tzibur does that, you know, remember what I'm talking about? You know, all right, Gemara Brachos. So, preferably, so we pass on the Halacha, that a tzibur should have to mix everybody up. A tzibur, don't daven mincha, even though it's already mincha time, daven mincha first. But the best thing is to avoid the problem. Avoid the problem. Make sure you start musaf. Okay? Some say even the chazar shatar, I forget that. But start the sounds when I say at least, when it's still not yet mincha time, you avoid the whole problem. You know what else that comes up? Simchas Torah sometimes comes up. Okay, so Torah comes up because the longer davening happens, you get a lead, then the kiddush, and maisis, then it's chosim Torah, chosim reishis. Depending how long it's dragging out, you know, the time to daven musaf, it's already zman mincha. So I know I always makom mashul. Make sure what timing you can start musaf before the zman mincha has arrived. Okay, if you didn't, we do it anyway. Though, we avoid the problem. Anyway, so Shechta told us that one time, Yom Kippur in the Baal Shachris slept a little bit or whatever, and so it was time for musaf, and it was getting to that moment, you know, it was getting to the Zman Mincha. So Mel Shechter told the Chazan, listen to this, skip Hinnity. Go right into Chazar Sashat. I mean, not Chazar, so right into Kaddish. So you'll beat the, let's say, Zman is 115. Told the Chazan, skip Hinnity, go right into Kaddish when he starts Shwan Esri. The Chazan, skip Hinnity. Hinnity is like the big cantorial masterpiece, you know. Guy waits all year to do Hinnity, you know. It's like Hinnity. Hinnity's not that important. I mean, as things go, you know, it's a beautiful feeling. I'm not taking away. I'm with the bombs of Moshe. I enjoy it. It's moving, actually. I mean, sometimes people don't see what Hinnity is. Okay, this is also my Meisen Shehoya and my great grandfather Shlomo Atlantic City. Although I heard from my mother before I was born. So sometimes the Chazan, we're not always so learned. Okay, the Chazan, the beautiful voices. Sometimes the Chazan weren't even observant, and then, you know, it was just like a performance. Unfortunately, it was a great chazan named Yossel Rosenblatt, one of the great chazan. He was a full man, you know. And one of the other chazanim complained that Yossel Rosenblatt said, "How can we get paid more than I do?" And it was also a great chazan. So Yossel Rosenblatt said, "Tongue in cheek, well, I get paid because I say the sounds from what I say also." He was a full man. Anyway, so that's one of the legendary Chazanish stories. I say Mistosh when I say too. But anyway, this story happened, and there's a shul that had like a little choir coming, you know, so it was time for Musaf and Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Kippur, I don't know which it was, and I heard this from my mother, and the Chazan wasn't there. It was quiet, people looking around, and then a little boy in the choir. The choir sings, "Ayei Hashliach Tzibur, Ayei Hashliach Tzibur," and then the door opens up. Hinnity. Now, if you know what Hinnity is, how does Hinnity begin? Hinnity ani mimas. It's a very humble. You're supposed to come in and say, "I'm not really worthy of everything." This chazan didn't understand, you know, what Hinnity was all about. Just know what Hinnity means. Here I am, you know. And the way my mother described her father, her grandfather, sitting in the seat in front of the shul, just like he's like. Sank in his seat. like, oh no. What can you do? Okay, anyway, so with this, but from Shetland, basically the father had the same thing. He told the Chazan, skip Hinnity. You know, it's no way. I think my American friend, he lost the battle. The Chazan, under no circumstances, was skipping Hinnity, you know. All right, but anyway, so, I got into Hinnity, but the Chazanim, the Talmud there went to say the if you say it at all. So that's what the Rav suggested, say it at the end of the psukim and not, and if we can append that extra pasuk, Shema Yisrael, the next paragraph. Okay, I'm not telling anybody here to go make a fuss with your local chazanim. What do they do? It's not the end of the world. Again, I revenge my Shema on the chazan, so I can do what I want, and so I do it that way. But anyway, that's the structure. Okay, so hopefully that alone will help you with Machaz and Moshavos. Now let's come back to the Gemara. Okay, what did Rabbi Akiva say? According to the Gemara's modified explanation of what Rabbi Akiva said to Bircha Menorah, right? The way it's written in the Mishnah, does everyone get it now in terms of the structure? It's not difficult, but and it's almost obvious. But I know when I first heard this from Rav so many years ago, you know, dozens of years ago, I think about every year when I say it's one of the symbols. Well, it's a beautiful structure, it makes perfect sense. It's really very beautifully structured. Okay, anyway, comes the commission, where we keep in the mission. It says to the Yochanan, if you're not going to say Tkiya Shofar after Malchus, then what are you saying Malchus for altogether? The Gemara found that to be a very strange question. What do you mean, what are you saying Malchus for? Because it's Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to say Malchus, that's why. So then, no, what the Rekiva meant is you shouldn't say 10, you should say 9. 10, 9, what? So the Rav said what it meant is like this. According to you, you should not say 10 psukim from Malchus. You should only say 9. Okay? Why the whole v'ishtani, and Rashi explains on that phrase, okay? Hoel v'ishtani, Malchios mizichonos lindin tekiya, since Malchios, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri, is different from zichonos and shofars in that you don't blow, according to you, right? Because he said you don't blow after Malchios. And it may as well be different in terms of the number of psukim you say. But since you don't blow shofar, you should also not say 10 psukim, you don't say 9. Once you change Malchios, once Malchios is distinct in terms of the number of psukim, it should also be distinct. I'm sorry, once Malchus is distinct in terms of shofar, you don't blow shofar after Malchus like you do after Zichonos and shofars, it should also be distinct in terms of the number of psukim. You shouldn't say 10 psukim, you should only say 9 psukim. Why? What's one thing got to do with the other? So according to the Rav's idea here, that 10th pasuk, the extra pasuk, like we said before, is really part of not the proof text, but part of the Bakasha section. Part of the Bakasha section. Shofar, among other things, is a form of tefillah. Shofar is a form of tefillah. Okay? It's a cry without words. There are many rites. The Gemara says, but a shofar, why is a shofar bent? It's like a person bent over in tefillah. The mere fact that we blow shofar during the Shmona Esrei, okay, or maybe only during the Chazaras Hashatz, but the fact that we don't wave a lulav during the Shmona Esrei and Sukkos. We don't eat matzah on Pesach in the Shmona Esrei. Usually, okay, you have a davening, and in the midst of the day, it says davening and shofar, okay. But here we do the mitzvah in association with tefillah. That's because shofar is part of tefillah. It's a different kind of tefillah. It's a scream. I mentioned earlier about the shofar I mentioned here the other day about the shofar being in Kippur, right? So it's a scream. You're screaming out. It's a cry to Kippur without word. You all know the old story about the shepherd boy who comes into shul and I don't know, it was a lady, it's a kabbadish or whatever it was. Okay, a mute. He was a mute. He couldn't dominate, but he was so taken by the Slavos of the dominating, but he knew how to whistle. You ever heard the song? Right? So he starts to whistle during the dominating. And can you imagine in your shul if somebody comes in and starts whistling? Well, that's what happened in that shul too. So, okay, when you interrupt the davening, and the rabbi, whether it was a baby Yitzchak, whoever it was, the rabbi, I mean, I made a true story, whoever it was, you know, said, there's great simcha in Shamayim, because he's doing what he can do, it's the best he can do, he can't say words, you know. My son recently told me that a new take on that, a guy comes into, I'm not making fun, but a guy comes into one of the neo-Hasidic Midan of the Slichas. Everybody's dancing and singing and playing the guitar and playing the flute, and you know, and this guy's very taken, but he says to himself, I can't play the guitar. I don't have a musical instrument. I'm not a good singer. I don't dance well. You know, what am I going to do? And he wants to participate. He says, but I know what I can do. I have a sleepless. I can read Hebrews. I'm going to say the words. Everybody stands up. What's going on? They look at the Rebbe. They're like, you can't imagine the simcha in the Shema. But anyway, the idea is that the shofar is part of tefillah. Okay, the shofar is part of the form of davening, but it's a bakasha. Hear what I'm saying. Right? In fact, that the Rav said, "Toh, what's the language of the bracha at the end of shofars? Shomea kol truas amo yisrael." Sounds like shomea tefillah. The same idea, right? Shomea tefillah. Kato, right before the bracha. Kato shomea kol shofar amazin trua. Right, you hear the sound. It's a tefillah. Now, what kind of tefillah is it? It's a bakasha. Now, suggested the Rav the following. Why did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say you don't blow shofar after Malchios? Good, he combined Malchios with Kedusha Hashem. Okay. And by the way, let me add that combining Malchios with Kedusha Hashem from a thematic perspective makes good sense. Right? Ato Kodesh Mekodesh, we speak about the Kedusha Hashem and Melech. That's not as it makes good sense. As a matter of fact, just as a side point, we have, I mentioned before, normally speaking, Atah Kadosh Mekadosh, Kedusha Hashem, is the shortest bracha of Shema Yisrael. It's one line. On Rosh Hashanah, we have all the V'chein Tein Pacht, V'chein Tein, right? V'chein Tein Pacht, V'chein Tein Yira, V'chein Tein Yira, V'chein Tein Pacht, V'chein Tein Basma, V'chein Tein Kovid, you know, V'chein Tzadikim Yira, and Kadosh Atah. And that, what is that? What is that? Okay, and that leads into a Melech HaKadosh. What is that? And it ends, right, like, you know, V'niklash Mitzot, right, and Tov Hashem in the Melech. What is that? So Rav Soloveitchik had an uncle, whose name is Menachem Karkovsky. There's a sefer called Avodas HaMelech on the Rambam. So he's only on Mada Nava, I think. I don't know if he wrote or lost, I'm not sure. He was an uncle. He was a rabbi. The Rav grew up in a town called Chaslavic, where his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, was the Rav. And before Moshe Soloveitchik, his uncle, Menachem Karkovsky. So he wrote a sefer, it's available in the Bar-Ilan, called Avodas HaMelech, on the Rambam. Anyway, so he makes a suggestion, he quotes, by the way, he quotes his nephew, the Avodas HaMelech quotes his nephew, Yosher Ber, a handful of times. And he said, every time it's about, because Rav Soloveitchik went to Berlin, where he was studying at university, so he had access to manuscripts. So every time that there was no quotes his nephew, it's about something that he found in a, you know, a text, and not only loved this, okay, he found something in some critical text or whatever. Anyway, be that as it may. So the Avodas HaMelech suggests that Atah V'chein Tein Pacht V'chein Tein, right? That's a holdover. That was the statement of theme of Yochum and Nuri's Malchios. Remember, Yochum and Nuri put Malchios in Kedush Hashem. So we hold on to that. It's a holdover from that. Because it is a little bit about Malchios, right? Everyone should know. All the wickedness will disappear. Because Baruch Hu will punish those sinners. Right? That's a holdover. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. Okay, it's going to be a holdover. We're going to Nuri's old Shema Yisrael. Just as a side point, by the way, the Brisa of Mama Beis and Aleph has a third shita, okay, of what you combine. Okay, the Brisa on the page, not the Mishnah, of Shimon Gamliel and Saint Dav says you can. The first three usual, Malchus alone, and Kedushas Hashem is combined with Zichronos. A very logical reason, because Kedushas Hashem is always the middle bracha. The seven, right? It's always the middle. So on Rosh Hashanah, there are nine brachas, should be in the middle of Zichronos. That's Hashem Gamliel. And by the way, I found by the Syrians, I don't know about all Sardim, by the Syrians, you know, we never say Yalav Yavo by Musaf. Yalav Yavo is on the Shachas Mishnah, not married. Yalav Yavo doesn't have the most bite, and neither does Sardim, except on Rosh Hashanah, they say Yalav Yavo and Zichronos. So I thought maybe that's a holdover from Shimon Gamliel's opinion, because what is Yalav Yavo? Zichroneinu, Fitoneinu, V'zichron V'seinu, V'zichron Mashiach, V'zichron V'zichron, Zichronos. It fits in there. Maybe that's why they play Yalav Yavo in the middle. But anyway, but also another side point. Another side point. We come back to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and Rabbi Akiva. I have a dumb question. Why do you have to combine anything with anything? Apparently, everybody agrees that something is combined with something. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri puts Malchios in Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Malchios is with Kiddushas Hayom. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Bryce in the Gemara later on says, no, Kiddush Hashem and Zichronos are combined. Why does anything have to be combined? Sounds like there are 10 themes. So I have 10 brachas, right? There are 10 themes because it is Yontif. So you have your regular seven Musaf themes, the same usual first three brachas, the same usual last three brachas, plus Kedushas Hayom, right? One of the Karbanas, that's okay. Musaf is Yontif too. Or Rosh Hashanah is Yontif too. And then you got to add Malchus and Rosh Hashanah. We grand total of 10. So say 10 brachas. Apparently, no one wanted to do that. They don't want to combine. Apparently, the only room for 9 brachas. Right. Just make 10 brachas. Just say Mekadosh Shovah is Mara, Mekadosh Shovah is Yom. A separate bracha with Malchus, Melech HaKoretz. Bracha Hashem, Melech HaKoretz. We have to combine anything with anything for it. So I said, because there's more brachas. More brachas tells us that there's a whole discussion. Why do we have 18 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei? Okay, regular weekdays, why 18? Why not 15? Why not 23? Where did 18 come from? So they found there were different reasons. Remember that come up? There were a few different reasons. Because in one of the kapitel of the Mizmor David, Yehlin has Hashem's name 18 times. It's called the Rabbanah King, the Raisa Tikkun. Rabbanah always wanted to model their takanas after an already existing pattern. It's already existed at Tefillah with 18 Shemos, so we have a bracha with Shemos with 18 brachas. And then they went and added the 19th. What's that? They found what's more than that. Then they were asked, what about the 7 of Shabbos? What's that model after? They say that. What about the Gemara says the 9 of Rosh Hashanah? What's that modeled after? You know what it's modeled after? You know? The Tefillah of Chana, which is the Haftarah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The Tefillah of Chana, remember Chana, the mother of Shmuel Hanavi, before she became the mother of Shmuel Hanavi, came to Davin, remember? And to Davin by the Mishkan at that time, and Shiloh Eli was there. She thought she was drunk, the whole Maisa, right? And then she had a son, and she brought Shmuel, and the Haftarah ends with Tefillah Chana. That's the Haftarah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Haftarah ends with the Tefillah Chana. You count there, has Hashem's name 9 times. And according to the tradition of Chazal, just like Sora was answered Rosh Hashanah, Chana was answered Rosh Hashanah, fine. Okay, it happened in Rosh Hashanah. And it's the Haftarah of Rosh Hashanah. So the Rav said, that's why they were stuck with, they wanted to only have 9 available slots. Because we wanted our Shmonesri to be modeled after Tefillah Chana, like the Gemara says in Brachos. So that means you only have 9 available slots. You have 10 themes and 9 slots. You have to combine something. Machonkas, what you combine. Okay, getting back to the issue here. So Rikiva says to Yochanan ben Nuri, you should only have said 9 brachas, not 9 psukim rather than 10. Why? So now we come to the question. According to Yochanan ben Nuri, you combine Malchus with Kiddush Hashem. Okay, but then he said, Einot Tokeh, why not? Well, why can't you blow the shofar? So blow the shofar after Malchus. So it's with Kiddush Hashem, big deal. Right? Then say, the Kiddush Hayom, which never has to get shofar, and then Zichron and shofar. So some say, well, you want the shofar to be consecutive. Three consecutive brachas, not possible. The Rav suggests differently. We have a rule, there's a general rule, we don't make bakashas in the first 3 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. It's a general call. There are no bakashas. Mashi Ruach Marigesh is not a bakasha. It's a statement. The same Talmud is a bakasha, but it's a Sheva. Mashi Ruach Marigesh is a Sheva. Marna tells a Sheva. So even as Ruach L'chaim, that's a question, but Michamoch, the second was also just it's a praise. Michamoch, Avraham, Zachary, too, Lachaim, Rachman. So, we're Lachaim, a little hard to succession, but okay, we don't make bakoshas maybe because the whole community is different, but Lamaisa would try to avoid bakoshas in the first 3 brachas. So, the Rav suggested that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri did not want to blow shofar after Malchus, because he said, according to him, shofar blowing is a form of bakosha. According to him, Malchus is in one of the first 3 brachas. Therefore, there's no bakasha there. That's why he didn't blow shofar. Now, said the Rav, now we understand what he was saying. I want this tomorrow. According to you, that you don't blow shofar. Why? Because it's a bakasha. So then you shouldn't say the 10th pasuk either. Because what we explained, the 10th pasuk was also a bakasha. If you're being makbid on this din, and you're saying in the first 3 brachas, and again, as I said before, from a thematic perspective, it does actually make more sense in Yochanan ben Nuri's way. Malchus is better thematically related to Kedushas Hashem than it is to Kedushas Hayom, and therefore you felt it's better to put it in the first 3 brachas. Okay, because you only have 9 psukim, you don't have a bakasha. Because a bakasha is not appropriate for 3 brachas. That's why you don't pull a shofar. That's what he meant. Ho v'ishtani, as the Rashi said, ho v'ishtani Malchus mizikonos in Tekia, chain tokenman. Then Ishtanam is the Fakos man. We have less psukim too. So I have 9 psukim. Now they want to make sense. Yeah.
If you hold that it's not, that this is a cautious different format put in the first three brachos, does that also affect the insertion of the Akhazars and Tshuva, which kind of seems.
No, but I'm saying the only one, it's the only case by Zochel Machayim. Micha Mocha is not really a request. It's just a statement. Right. Micha Mocha.
I think
the
Rebbe Lechaim has not a question. The one that has a statement.
So that's what some will. Yeah, some say like that. Some say like that. Yeah. Yeah.
So
Rebbe Lechaim.
Okay. Yeah. The
are not that's also an interesting question. The are not questions. So again, you get it with Hashem. We'll do that or we can do that. It's a question. You know, you hold like that. Rahman Kukovsky saying, you know, that maybe not, that is a holdover. I mean, in general, what we say, it ends up being a bakasha anyway. Yeah, okay.
By the way, it kind of makes sense to me that Malchus should not have a bakasha. There's no bakasha to have. He is the king.
Right. But the bakasha, Malocha, call it, everyone should recognize it. But okay, I hear.
I'm saying, like, it is.
Yeah, it's a fact. Whether anybody recognizes it or not, it's a fact anyway. Yeah.
It's a fact.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, this is what the Rav said. explained this Gemara very beautifully, and also I think gave us an insight a little bit about Malchus and Shofros. I think that, you know, again, you should look at the Psukim carefully, the beautiful selection of Psukim. Okay, there is one that they object to, the Rabbi objected to the Psukim Zecha, Asan, Vasam, Chana, Racham, Hashem. It's from Tilim, because there it doesn't mean remembering and so on. So he inserted another pasuk, Zachar Shalom De'en, was Yom Shalom, which is a pasuk of Zachar. So a few things here and there. There are other touch-ups. The Rav was notorious for making little changes here. Someone I know, a neighbor of mine, Pinek, older than I, but his father-in-law, not this brother, was one of the Chazanim in the Rav Shul, something, I forgot exactly the whole Metzias. But he said his machzer that he was on had all kinds of X's and arrows and marks. Don't say this, don't say that, you know. So if you take a look at the publisher, we published a few years ago, OU with the article published, Rav Salvation Machzer. You ever see it? Okay, so I was under the editor of that, and co-editor. And there, so we have all the Rav's on August. The Praise prints it normal, but then there's a footnote that the Rav used to insert this. The Rav said, just say that. In the opening section, we have a list that he would say, see, you know, see, Hanhoga's number one, you know, Hanhoga's number 63. And explain what I usually try to, someone else collected all the stuff, and I tried to do a show where the Rav got it from or why he would say it. You know, sometimes because the Rav don't say it, or was it a Sechad this, you know. So anyway, but the Ebechal, with or without the Rav, it's good. You know, it's good to look at the tefillah, because really, really, very, very beautiful tefillah, Malchus Mos Shofros. You know, really, it's majestic, in my opinion. I think we actually quoted the Machzor that some non-Jewish professor remarked that he was studying, saw that he found this as a moving prayer. You know, as a religious man, or like a Bible scholar, whatever, not Jewish, and not religious, very found this a very beautiful prayer. It's Malchus Mos Shofros. Anyway, so I hope this gives you some insight in the Malchus Mos Shofros. I'll take the opportunity to wish everybody a Ksimus and a Tova, a Shabbat Gantan, a Bukka Ben Shor, and there's a Shabbat Tzom Gedalia. We'll meet at 11:30, the regular time, and we'll go finish up these Sugi of Shrisa, Mitzvah Seir Shrisa and Shabbat. Shabbat Gantan.
Great to see you.